points over here on the Moshe Dirshot, just up to where we are in Sif Gimel, deals with a case where a person didn't build a whole house, but he added, made an addition to the house. Mm-hmm. So he brings from the Yasha that you would make a bracha shechiyano. If he has family, he makes it to a meitiv. But a person buys a house, it's not written, it's not listed under his name. I mean, somebody else, for whatever reason, he didn't have good credit, so somebody else took the mortgage, and somebody else, even though he laid out the money, you know, whatever it is, but he really bought it, but it's listed in somebody else's name. Being from Rosh Hashanah, you would not make the bracha, since it's not listed legally as according to the laws, it's his, he can't make a bracha, even though halachically he's kind of it. So what about a person bought a house, the Hakafa? Now, the Chayyadim says you don't make a bracha, the Kafa Chayyadim says you don't make a bracha in that situation. But Hakafa does not mean a mortgage. Hakafa means that that the seller is giving to him a credit and he owes the money. Over here, the seller sold it to him. The seller received full payment. He is using the house as a lien from a loan they took from somebody, a third party, the bank, to pay for the cost of the house. But a person would buy the house from the seller on credit, and he would make an arrangement where he pays the seller each month X amount of money for the house. So you would not make a broken situation. That situation usually would be a situation of ribis. A person would have to, if he did it from a Jew, he'd have to make sure he has a heteriska. Right? Unless, or let's say the purchase price for the house is $400,000. He says, you know what, I'll sell it to you for $400,000, but pay me back. You know, I'll take the money from you monthly, but I would like to get some, you know, I would like to get some interest. So that's money which is due to him, which he's charging interest for waiting for the money. That's a ribbis. That would be ribbis. So they'd have to have the risk. It doesn't say that over here, but I just want to point that out. Okay, we're holding in the Sif Katan Yud Gimel, just before we get there, 1 second. You bring an interesting case where a person was in a larger home, and because of debt, etc., he actually sold the larger home and he bought a smaller home. You know, less expensive home. Would you make a Shechiyanu? Would you make a bracha on that situation? He actually brings from an innocent Karelitz. The answer is yes, because right now, that fact that he has a home is something which he could have had a situation where he sold his debt and had nowhere to live, you know, because he had no money left. So you have to appreciate the fact that he has that.
What?
Do you call that relation true Shechiyanu?
That's just saying that we're relating to the fact that person has to look at that as a benefit.
He doesn't feel true joy.
He should make himself feel true joy. Okay. Kalim Chadoshim. Okay. So he said if a person bought Kalim Chadoshim, even though he had something similar to that, he makes a bracha. So that, Mr. Burr, Yud Gimel, Bein Mabushim, Bein Kli Tash, Mr. Shti, Vachilo, Kiyotze Bezeh. Whether it's clothing, whether it's things that he's going to use. Somebody asked me today about they bought a new freezer. Or even Kli Tash, Mr. Shti, and Vachilo. The person assuming nowadays, unless they're extremely expensive items, that's not considered a chashav to us. So if the type of things that people feel excited about acquiring, and obviously that depends on the person's financial status, if a person gets such a thing, so he'll make the bracha.
We're talking selling one's debt.
You know, Tzvi, I'm continuing on to a new point. You're going to have to, you came late, you're going to have to wait. So nowadays we seem to hesitate to make a bracha on these things, which maybe once upon a time people considered of greater value, because we live in a more affluent society. So I always had this problem, and one of the suggestions that they say for the second night of Rosh Hashanah is to wear a new suit. Okay, so wearing a new suit is meager than a person should make a shakiyan or a new suit. Got a new suit, a shakiyan. And I think Allah Maisa, I think for most people that's still something of enough significance that he should make a shakiyan on it. I remember when Rebbeim told me he was the Baal Tekiah, so the Betzim, the Sitra was relevant to the Baal Tekiah. He's saying a Shechiyonu on the Shofar on the second day, so they suggest he should get a new garment. So my Rebbe told me, well, he wears a kapata. Right, he wears a kittel. But when he makes a brach, he's not wearing the suits. He got to get, he buys himself new pants. Doesn't buy. So do you make a Shechiyonu on a pair of pants? You don't make a Shechiyonu on a pair of pants. I mean, imagine what amount of time they did, you know. You know, if you picture a person who had, the Chazon Ish had his chasna, kapata, whatever they wore, he wore the, his whole life. That was the one thing that he wore. He wore it for the rest of his life. It was green by the time he passed away. Right? So from that world, you get a pair of pants, you make a Shechiyonu. It's hard to imagine nowadays a person buys a pair of pants, he makes a Shechiyonu. Okay. And vice versa. If a person bought something which most people consider exciting, and he's not excited about it, he should not make a Shechiyonu. Interesting question which comes up is, my Rebbe wrote a tshuva about this. I wish I could tell you, remember all the details of it. About a chassan goes and buys an engagement ring, and he gives it to the kala. So what bracha does the chassan make when he buys it? What bracha does the kala make when she receives it? All right. Or do they both make brachas? Do neither make brachas? What bracha do they make, etc.? So you could argue that the chassan is buying it to tov ha-meitiv. He doesn't have a wife yet. But he's buying this as to use, that he feels good about giving it. It's going to use that somebody's going to receive it. For him, it's a tov ha-meitiv. On the other hand, there's no benefit to the other person. All as long as he has it, there's no benefit. The benefit only comes in the moment that he gives it. Or do you argue, well, he's able to give it. That itself is a benefit. He's able to give it. That's a benefit for him and the kala. What brought does the kala make? She got a new item which belongs to her. So she should make a shechiyonu. Right? She doesn't make a tov ha-meitiv. On the other hand, you know, as much as we're arguing that this is the benefit of the chassan because he feels good about giving it, well, she plays that role. So, Mershon says that the chassan should say shechiyonu, and when the
I mean, she plays that role.
What do you mean? What do I mean? What do you not understand? She plays the role of giving him that benefit by accepting the ring. That's why the chassan feels good. Not that he enjoyed having a nice, fancy, beautiful ring. He enjoys the ring simply because the woman's going to accept it from him. That's the enjoyment that he has. So when she's accepting it, she's giving him benefit. So there's a type of meitiv involved over there. So Mershon says that the chassan should say shechiyonu, and my Rebbe, I think if I call Kopen, my Rebbe said that the chassan should say a type of meitiv, if I call correctly. Rabbi Asher says the chassan should say nothing, and the kala should say shechiyonu when she gets it. And the reason Shlomo Zalman that the kala doesn't make a shechiyonu either. Whatever you do, you're wrong. Okay.
So the scenario here is that the chassan goes by the ring by himself. If they go together, then what?
Doesn't make a difference. Right now, it's his ring. She doesn't own the ring until he gives it to her. Now they go out, pick it out together, but he pays for it. It's his ring. You know? It's when they're married, the husband buys something, it automatically belongs to his family as well. So that's the way we say the benefit of the family makes it a type of mate. But over here, they're not married yet.
So a boy asks a girl to marry him and she says yes. Shouldn't he say a bracha?
The person grappled with the question about making a shechiyonu by the chasna. Probably the Iker's man of the simple is not so much the saying yes, but actually going through with it. Because you don't really... one of the suggestions, at least, is by the chasna, is a person usually gets a new suit for the chasna. He should say the shechiyonu on the suit, have in mind for the simple of the chasna as well. But if he's actually somebody who's quite wealthy to the point that he's not really excited about these things, they don't mean too much to him, so he shouldn't make a bracha. But can he swore him? Purchasing swore him. We should argue mitzvah level honest. Now, that's interesting because there was a famous... there's a Ben of Roman Ahor in the Nedorim, in the Sugya, in the fourth parak, where the Mor talks about a case where one person is mutar hanof from another person, So facilitating that if Reuven, Shimon cannot get benefit from Reuven. He made a neder, he won't get any benefit from Reuven. So Reuven is allowed to facilitate Shimon doing a mitzvah because the mitzvah of Avraham doesn't know. He's not getting Hanoah. However, he cannot teach him Torah. Ben Raman Hor says that the concept of mitzvah of Avraham doesn't know doesn't apply to learning Torah. And there's an Igle Tal, which says the same idea. The Igle Tal of his Hagdama writes a fascinating thing. He says that people say to him he doesn't learn Torah Lishma because he enjoys his learning so much that he's enjoying it, so it's not Torah Lishma. He's doing it because he enjoys it. So the Igle Tal wrote back and says, you're making a mistake. That is what Torah Lishma means. Torah Lishma means that the learn Torah in an exciting way, happy way, because you enjoy it. But over here, the Hanoah is part of the mitzvah. Oh, so, where? By Limud HaTorah. So, the argument of the Parsing, which are arguing that you don't make a bracha on a sefer because mitzvahs of the Hanus didn't know. I mean, it's not. We're not discussing the mitzvah of purchasing a sefer. There is a rush. The rush holds that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah was not to write a sefer Torah. Ksiva Sefer Torah was to have swarm to learn from. It says therefore the rush writes in a tshuva that nowadays when we learn we write down Torah Biksav, Torah Shabal Peh. So for us, these are from any sefer that you buy, you're kind of the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. So it's much easier according to the Rosh. The Chinuch brings it down in the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. So it's much easier to make kind of the mitzvah according to the Rosh of Ksiva Sefer Torah with your $15 purchase of a sefer than the $35,000 purchase of a sefer Torah, right? So he doesn't mean the mitzvah of purchasing a sefer. He means the mitzvah of the handoff of having the sefer to learn from. So Aaron Mitzvah doesn't over here. The car is interesting. Chayyim said that the Chayyim comes up with the following pshara: the Mahoya Mahadar Acher Zeh Sefer Sameach Bekin Yosudim. He was trying to get the sefer for a while. He was expending effort to get it, and he finally got it. The Mavarich Shrei Brachos Uniskan Alas Simcha Beloy Alat Hashmish Kamei Besif Dalad. It's just the acquisition itself is something of excitement to the person. He finally got it. He's very excited. Shemek Brach because of Marxia. Alkein Ein Limchus Biyat Mavarich. Even though there's definitely posts who say you shouldn't make a bracha, right? The Shari Chu over here brings the Mechlekes. The Marxia says you make a bracha. The Master Bracha says you don't make a bracha. You should say Hashem Malchus. He brings the Marxia says you make a bracha, and he brings that the other ones so you don't make a bracha. But then he says if you wrote a sefer, so there for sure you should make a bracha. He says a person was appointed to the position of a partner or a rav, he would make the bracha without Shem Malchus. Okay, then we said, even though he already had a similar item, Hoyloi, Mirusha Zavoy, so we already had this from in his family. But this is a new item. Because of the Filo Kona, because of the Kona. The Bizar Af Linya Kania Lav Chodeshu. So he doesn't mean he bought the same item twice. That was my mistake before. I remember I had the same mistake last time I learned this. Okay. It means he bought one and then he bought another one with the same item. But it's not the same one twice. So in that situation, this new kli is a new kli. So not only if he had to bring Yerusha and then he bought one, but even if he bought once and now he's buying a second time, but each one is a new kli, you make a bracha and shechion on each one. The bracha should be said right away before you lost the when the novelty is still there. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says by clothing it should only be said the first time you're wearing it. So that's important that if a person wants to say Shachyanu on the clothing, you really should put it on immediately before and then say the bracha Shachyanu right away. So I know my person in Cleveland that he was chosen for the Shulchan Aruch Rav if a person forgot. The first time, he should say the second, if he puts it on later on, he should say it without Shem Malchus. Buying tefillin, the Mishnah Berurah said before, you don't make a Shechiyonu. Let me finish off the Mishnah Berurah here. Lafukei Machra.
It says if you give tefillin to somebody, you make a Shechiyonu. Most of the issues.
Right, he brings such an argument that by giving the tefillin, Rabbi Zalman hold it, that when the person got it, so he has the simple of getting a matana, not having to pay for it. So you make a bracha from inside that. So the chadashim means the case where you bought that and you re-bought the same one. The fukim mechoron, the filu im heim chadashim Shalom Yishtam Shabbat Hamadayin. He bought it, it was new. He never used it, and he sold it right away, and then he rebought it. Since the Maaseh used it already, that's lacking in the Simcha. Interesting shaila which comes up is the Maaseh Dirsha deals with a case where a person was renting a home and then he bought the home. So he's very used to the house. He says, "You make a shechiyonim." That situation, because the Maaseh, the person has a Gvaltika Simcha, he finally bought it as opposed to just renting it. So that would be considered a new Simcha in that situation. Okay.